Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
To the sweet sounds of Kevin Bloody Wilson, it's Hump Day with Swanee and friends, Dane Swan and just me. Morning, Swanee.
Morning, mate. I didn't hear the intro. Is that what happened there?
It'll be rolled in later. That's our production work in action.
Jesus, fuck, we're technical.
We are. Thank you to Paul Gardner for giving us a chop out again.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it would have been pretty unfair of me to just bring anyone to try and follow Leon Davis, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. All I know is that by how many times you've retweeted the positive, that must have been literally the only time we've ever had anything nice to say about this podcast, because it's the only time I've ever seen you retweet anything positive about this podcast.
Correct.
So he must have done a good job. Maybe I might have to fuck Sam off and put Lee on him. Now, Sam doesn't write bad road messages anymore, so Sam might get the ass. And so Liam might have to just figure out how to record for us, and then Sam's rendered useless.
Now, this past week, there's two people that are reasonably close to you that I think you need to have a word with.
Okay.
Well, Scott Pendlebury and Liam Pickering, are they starting to embarrass you?
Spoke to Pendles yesterday, actually. Mate, what are you doing apologising to fucking three or four retired, washed-up footballers that aren't happy with what you're saying? Like, who cares? I told him, no, we lost another good one. I was waiting for your tweet, Ralph. We lost another good one. But, I think he was on Triple M and he was having – I don't read the whole context, but he's not allowed to have a laugh. And even if he is serious, like, who cares? Would you get to – even if – I don't think he's leaving, but – well, would you rather get to the end of the year than just in a day just blindside everyone? At least, like, it's the way the world is moving forward. Even if he wanted to go, well, at least he puts his options on the table. So this is what I want. I think he's earned the right to have what he wants. Now, obviously, we all want him to stay at Collingwood, but the times have changed. Like, people leave, and if Collingwood aren't in a premiership window, I think we can all agree to that. Now, if they got someone good, a good young draft pick, or fucking whoever it was for him, and he got to do coach or whatever, you know, there's not a lot of romance left in football, Ralph. So I don't have a big problem with it. Even if he wanted to go, I'd have no problem with him. I actually messaged him. We're talking about something else. And I said, oh, you off to the Suns next year? And he didn't respond to that part of my message. So maybe there's something in that. He answered all my other questions or we were talking about, but he left that part out. So you never know. But yeah, listen, like, I have no problem with him. I don't know, like, once again, I don't know why people need to apologise for people that are trying to comment on you that have no bearing or effect on your role in the football club or what you can and can't say.
Well, hang on, but I just want to back the truck up a little bit there. Shouldn't Scott publicly apologise for not responding to that question of yours?
Yes, he should. He should. But yeah, like, his leg's going fine, he said. But I think he's entitled now. I didn't listen to the interview, so I don't know what context it was, but it was on Triple M, I think. So they're not Triple M being Triple M, they're not super in-depth, serious conversations, I wouldn't imagine, most of the time. You know, they're having a laugh and taking the piss. You might have said it, like, jokingly. It's very hard to write context in a tweet or in an article, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But let him say what he wants. He's entitled to his opinion if that's literally what he wants. And if he is forcing Collingwood's price up, well, so be it. Because on the flip side, we all know football clubs get rid of you as soon as you're rendered useless or you're not as valuable to them as someone else. So why should – and free agency swing power to the players a bit, which is great. So football clubs get rid of you as soon as it's possible for them if you're no good to them anymore. So I've no absolutely zero problem with Scott. If it is 100% true and he wants a long 2-year deal and then – some guarantees on coaching, and if someone else can give that to him and he can go win a premiership somewhere before he's done, or he can go to, you know, where all the old men go to retire, the Gold Coast or something like that. He can go up there, get a couple more years in the sun, maybe bring me along as an assistant, and we'll be fine.
I just knew it was just a case of waiting to see how you were involved in this.
Yeah, well, that's what I texted him about yesterday, mate. I said, mate, don't feel like you can't drag your old mate Swanee along, mate. I dragged you along for 7-8 years of your career, so it's about time you can repay the favour.
Would you, if it came to pass that Scott was going to the Gold Coast and you were then offered an assistant coaching role there of some sort, would you really be prepared to leave Melbourne at the moment?
Oh, mate, listen, I'd really have to think about it. Mate, I'd fucking go anywhere. I'd go to North Korea. Very similar.
Well, we're taping this Thursday morning, and as we speak yesterday, the grand final's going to Perth if the MCG is not available.
Yeah.
That amuse you?
Yes, it did. What are chances do you think the MCG hosting the grand final this year, Rob?
Same chance of me playing for Melbourne.
Yeah, very fucking slim. I don't know why they've done that as a backup plan. We all know. Well, pigs might fly. Like, what would have to happen? Like, would Danny's merry bunch of men have to come out and say we're opening up on the second and we're going to have 20? You know, well, stranger things haven't happened, have they? Really? Let's be honest.
No, stranger things haven't happened. And also, it's a two-way street, Swanee. I'm seeing this with, and good on the racing clubs for looking ahead about vaccinated crowds and so forth. It's a two-way street until people can trust that they can go somewhere, not be tested positive and find that their QR scan says that they have to miss 2 weeks' work or whatever, or isolate and ruin their life. They're going to be more reluctant to go to crowds, and you're probably going to have to deal with this with things like your venue as well coming up.
Yeah, well... No, I've still got a venue, Ralph. I'm barely lucky to have a house at the moment.
Exactly.
It's fucked, mate. Hopefully Perth enjoyed. Chances of me getting over there is very slim, isn't it? But
well, would you consider isolating just to say, because you'd have a lot of people to talk to?
For a couple of days, not for 2 weeks. That means I'd have to leave. I'd have to leave next weekend or something.
How'd the negotiation go at home if you brought that up as an idea?
Oh, mate. Well, at the moment, you'd probably enjoy it. we actually looked. We actually tried to get our permit to leave the country. So we jumped online, tried to apply for the permit to go because I've just had everyone's just had enough of this state. It's a disgrace, so we're like, fuck it, let's just get out of here, let's just go back to America. And we're filling out the, like, all the things, and I grabbed my passport. My passport was out of date. It's not funny. I nearly started crying. You're laughing at it. It's not funny.
No, it is.
I haven't cried in about 10 years. I didn't even cry when Tate was born. Like, I shed a tear then. I would have been in America now. Heartbreaking. So we had to go up. Had to go up the post office and get my passport renewed. So hopefully, whenever that comes, but that'll come in like 3-4 weeks. And Surely by then. Well, we've said that. We said that a lot, Ralph. But surely by then, COVID's gone. We've opened up a bit, but we'll see. We'll see.
When you were getting your passport renewed, was it giving you flashbacks of applying for the doll?
Yeah. No, there was the faces in the post office. The crowd in the post office a little. Oh, I don't want to use the wrong word here, but more friendly than the other place I was at. But I mean, I just getting your part, just having your passport out again made me feel alive. I was like, oh fuck! I looked through the old stamps. And, you know, there's 100 odd stamps in there. It's like, oh man, these would my kid won't believe this, that you could travel to other countries. You could get in your car, mate. I sat in my car yesterday for 10 minutes and just pretended I could drive somewhere. Just sat in there and just pretended I was driving. Just so I could just like go up the fish and chip shop, grab a couple of dimmies, you know, sit around. Like, just remembered that those were the days. But, you know, no one will believe us in 10. Our children of today won't believe us that we used to be able to leave the state without having to isolate for 2 weeks, or, you know, we could go meet a friend in a park and kick a footy. They won't believe us.
You actually just gave me a flashback, and I know I'm not the only one in this camp. And when your kids are really, really young, gee, it was a good technique to just used to take ages for the fish and chips to be cooked.
It did.
Well, as in you'd go up the street and you just have a little bit of me time, just absolutely, in the car by yourself.
Oh, I love the bit of fish and chips. Well, that's what I was doing out there yesterday.
Yeah.
Just sitting in there, just.
Bit of dad advice there.
Yeah, reliving the glory days.
Back to Pendles, because we should wrap that up.
Or Pickers, yeah.
No, first Pendles.
Okay.
As far as, does anyone with a brain in the head think that if he did finish his career elsewhere, it'd all tarnish his Collingwood legacy? Surely not.
No, absolutely not. Well, look at Hodge, you know, look at the way Hawthorn did. Now, Mitchell. Hodge, Mitchell Lewis.
Even Doug Hawkins did for totally different reasons. No one thinks of him as a Fitzroy legend.
Yeah, exactly. No, absolutely not. Well, some people would. There'd be some people in the media that would say it would tarnish his legacy, but once again, who gives a fuck about them?
I did actually get his quote. Is his quote, Swatty, right? In his quote within a quote was, I really do want to become a one-club player. Is that ambiguous? What am I missing there?
Oh, mate, who knows? Well, you know, clickbait. You got to sell TV shows, but listen. Yeah, it wouldn't be the worst if, and the new coach might come in and actually go, well, whoever that is, actually, if we could get a 22-year-old, or, you know, I don't know if he'd be worth a first-round draft pick because of his age, but, you know, a second-round draft pick or something like that. You know, pretty. I don't know if there's a good draft next year, but, you know, it might be the way to take us forward. Now, the chance of that happening is very unlikely, but I think the service, and he hasn't put a foot wrong in the 15, 16 years he's been there. So if he wanted to leave and explore other opportunities, good on him. Or if he wants to go win, you know, he wants to try and win a premiership before he finishes, go to a contender, you know, go to Dad's Army up the highway there in Geelong. Well, fair enough. Like, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
As far as your manager, your manager's manager, Liam Pickering, do you have to distance yourself from him now?
Oh, mate, he's a wild card. But when I've been in talks with my manager, Pitch, James Pitcher, like in the last week or so, I've been talking about a couple of things, but I literally haven't heard from Liam. Mate, he's too busy with Teague and Potten. Who was he? Who else was he? Potten? Cripps.
Well, here's the thing. He's commentating on a game of footy.
Okay.
And he's saying about David Teague's form, just playing footy as a commentator.
David Teague's form or Cripps' form?
Cripps' form. Yeah. Now, let's get the bit up front. I'm mates with him.
I'm not.
You're not, because he's your manager.
No,
so
he's not.
I'm barracking for him. But
no, he's not my manager. He still takes a sniff of everything I do, though, but I fucking don't speak to him. So if anyone sees him out there, just tell him I said hello. Show him a photo of me. He's actually on a milk carton at home, missing.
So, Lee Matthews said the same thing about Patrick Cripps' form.
Yeah. So, well, exactly. It's justified. Yeah.
That's
he's
right.
He's not an elite player anymore. You're only as good as your last season, and he was clearly not elite this year. So, I don't know what more people want to say. Like, but people hate to join dots that shouldn't be connected, don't they, Ralph?
Well, the point being that if you're not entitled to commentate on saying something that, you know, in this case, as respected a voice of the game, which Lee Matthews clearly is, apart from yourself possibly. But
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But what is he doing wrong? And by extension, so Adam Ramanauskas, who I've met a couple of times, is certainly not a mate, but he said virtually the same conversation, I think it was with Simon Goodwin, I was listening to an ABC podcast, he's on the ABC commentating. So as long as you're doing your job properly and it's up front, who gives a fuck?
Do you think the people that are saying that he's conflicted, what are your thoughts on that, that he shouldn't be talking about that because he's conflicted?
Well, journos are the most conflicted of all. They hide their conflicts.
Yeah.
They have to, that they, their bread and butter is being leaked to. Yeah. And that's just fact. And that's from, you know, Watergate down, whatever, all around the world. And I was part of it. So if you get your leaking from people, you're conflicted because do you reckon you're going to bag the person who's giving you good information?
Exactly.
Million to one. Never. And in footy, let me assure you, and as in our people listening, the not very talented are really talented at leaking to media because saves their bacon publicly.
And I don't have a problem with people being conflicted. A lot of politicians and stuff, as long as you're honest about it.
100%.
Well, who cares? Like, everyone knows people are conflicted, people have friends and like, but people say, yeah, I'm mates with him, so why would I fucking bag him? Or he's done him wrong. So, yeah, like, no problem. If you're going to ask someone's opinion on someone who you know is a mate or conflicted, what are you expected to say?
That's
like,
it.
Like, as if you're going to turn around and go, nah, well, he's a cunt. I hate him. Well, he's going shit. He should lose his job. Your mates, of course, you're going to find an angle or try and make a spin zone to support them. It's just how the world works. I look at what's going on in our government at the moment. Like, the spin zones are all time, and the takes and the lies are outrageous. And coaches do it for their players and like media, like with the, you know, every player who's played at an old club tries to find a spin zone to support them and making excuses and stuff. It just happens in every facet of life, but people just pick and choose about which ones they want to fucking get their knickers in a knot about.
No doubt. So I've got to ask you this question.
Yeah.
Big news during the week. I think, you know, I buried the lead a bit. Eating a hot dog can take 36 minutes off your life, a study suggests.
Oh, I haven't got long left then.
Are you tempted to do the maths or not?
Long left. Well, I don't know.
If a hot dog's 36 minutes, what does other things cost you?
Yeah, I know. I've tweeted somewhere the other day that some people in the US think a hot dog's a sandwich. Now, on what planet is a hot dog a sandwich?
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
And you're prepared to move over there with these psychos?
Well, have you seen where I'm living at the moment?
Yeah, what is that?
Well, we're in jail. But when we did enough complaining about that, we have what did no one yeah, no point complaining about that. It happens every day. But yeah, I know hot dog sandwich is one of the most absurd things I've ever seen, but on Twitter, and I've seen there's some absurd things going around on Twitter, but I didn't actually read that. Like, I didn't want to know what was in it. I was too upset. So, you know, I can't believe, did you read the article?
Oh, no, like everyone else, you just skip it.
Yeah, exactly. Not sure how much truth's in that, but, I've had a few minutes taken off my life. There's no doubt about it.
But as we discussed in season one, Billy Connolly makes a very good point. It's not at the start of your life where you lose these good things. It's at the end when you know.
Who gives a fuck?
You're fucked. And no one says, well, you're going 2 hours earlier because you had six hot dogs. Who
cares? Exactly.
But speaking of which, have you seen the greatest thing on the internet this week? Your man, who do you consider the GOAT of all GOATs?
Brady?
No. Come on.
When in a sporting term?
In life. Yeah, well, life. I think it's a sport. It's connected to hot dogs.
Joey Chestnut.
Have you seen him chugging or sculling, as we would call it, a litre of Gatorade?
Yes, mate. I'd do that when I'm hung after a bender on the weekend, on a Monday morning. That's what I used to do before footy training, after a big weekend. Mate, I could knock that off, no probs. Mate, you wake up, Joey, you can hardly open your lips because your mouth's so dry, then you just crank them open and you just get it, mate. You just smash back 2 litres of Gatorade without a breath.
In fairness, I probably undersold it. How many litres do you reckon he did skull? It was a 2 litre thing, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, mate, it was huge. He's a very talented man, Joey. But I tell you what, he hasn't got long left.
Well, that's true.
Yes, he hasn't got long left at all.
That's a very good point, because if that study's accurate, he died 10 years ago.
Exactly. He's a ghost. He smashes 70 dogs in 10 minutes, right? And he trains, mate. He's fucking eating more hot dogs on the planet than anyone. So that'll really test that theory out, I would imagine.
Well, I think it was Ron Barassi who said you play the way you train, so he must really put in.
Exactly.
Hall of Fame during the week. So do we call Chris Judd an alumni of yours? I suppose your careers were almost parallel.
Oh, good job. Super draft, mate. I was a bit stiff not to go ahead of him, to be honest.
Yeah, so he went number one. What number you?
Hodge, he went three.
Oh, sorry, he went three, of course, yeah.
Hodge, ball
draft. Two. And Swan.
Hodgeball. I fell to 58, surprisingly.
Yeah. Just missed.
Yeah, I mean, I was very unlucky. 16, however many clubs, right? They all had the opportunity to get me four times and they missed out. So, snooze or lose.
What did he have over you back then?
Everything. Everything. Probably.
So you go on.
Yeah, no, I probably had over him the ability to back up off a drink. That's about it. That's where my life was going. That's how my life was headed. He couldn't kick the Jew off in the reserves at 10 a.m. at Willie. Don't worry about that. Took a very fucking special talent to have a drink on a Thursday night, a drink on a Friday night, then roll up at 10 a.m. and play in the reserves down at Willie and start on the bench. So that's fucking tough going, mate. Alien, mate, breed them tough like that.
Well, here's another flaw in the recruiting process. So they would have, you know, assessed his running and kicking and, you know, ability in and outside of a contest. But do you reckon they factored in what your talent was at the time with schoolies?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, that would have gone as a matchup.
Well, a lot harder to do some of the things that I did in schoolies and off the field than it was on the field. I would have thought.
Exactly.
But he's in the Hall of Fame now, so Rome probably just snuck in, I would imagine. I would have thought.
Wouldn't have been a long meeting.
No, yeah. How does that even happen? Is there people that vote for it? Obviously, people vote for it.
Yes. Been a while since I've been in it, as far as in the media, knowing exactly, but I think it was something like, it was a combination of administrators and media people, and then I'm pretty sure the CEO, in this case would be Gil, would have non-executive vote, as in overseeing the final choice. So say a bit about Juddy as a competitor.
No, he was a star. He's probably a Hall of Famer, Ralph.
And that's why we do this podcast, because who else could say that type of insight?
Exactly. He was two different players, I guess. Him at West Coast was, you know, people asked me that, who's the best player I've seen, and, you know, for me, key forwards, not big, rotund, full forwards. not those forwards, but the big, power forward, centre forward, your Ablets, Careys, Buddy Franklin, those kind of guys, they're harder to find. That's why I rate them higher than midfielders, because, you know, Carey and Ablets are irreplaceable, you know what I mean? They can win a game. A midfielder like Judd and Ablett are obviously, you know, the two best mids I've ever seen, but like, you can't replace them, but you can replace them close enough. Like, I could come in and have 30 and kick three, just like one of them. They might have 35, you know. So you can replace a mid kind of like for like, not to the level of them, but you can't put in a key forward that's anywhere close to a Duck or Ablett or something like that. So, you know, people always ask me, and I said, oh, well, I'll get that out of the way. And then Ablett, for me, just for what he did going to Gold Coast, and, you know, the game plan was pretty much stop Ablett, he still came out at 50. You know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous. For someone who didn't look, like, you look at him and go, he's not the best player we've ever seen. Look at him. Like, you know, he wasn't super quick, wasn't tall, didn't have a huge hand, like, couldn't jump, but was just unbelievable. Where if Judd had continued his career like he did at West Coast, I would say he would be the best midfielder I've ever seen. Now, he's number two, obviously, but...
And you're referring to the fact that injuries slowed him up and forced him to change his game, yeah?
He just pivoted, yeah. So he had that, that day sticks out, I don't know, much, when he had, like, 30, kicked 5.5, against Brisbane. Yeah, like, mate, so if he had kept that form, if he had kept that body throughout his career, I would say he was the best midfielder I've ever seen. But just because his body hurt him, and he had to pivot and change his way a bit and become a bit more of an inside ball. And he's still one of Brownlow, still a freak. but he's the second best midfielder I've ever seen behind Ablett. Started to do it all. But like I've always said, you like playing with those guys, because once you've seen him at a stoppage, you wouldn't see him again till the next one. But, you know, like, he was a freak. He'd take big grabs. He was everything. He was everything you needed in a player. A star, great guy off the field as well. Me and him got sacked from the footy show together, I think, which was good. so I've got that in common. He's a star. And clearly, when do you have to be eligible? I'd imagine he got in first year.
Five full years.
You have to be out.
So next year you become relevant.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I've already written my speech, so. So he made much deserved. He's a star. And I think we all knew he'd probably be a legend at some stage. Is that what they go to?
They do.
Yeah. So I imagine many years down the track, the legends will probably be, in my time, will probably be Judd Ablett and Buddy, I would imagine. Maybe Goodsy if he wants it.
Yeah, and it was good to see the chairman of the AFL acknowledge it. Heard Gerard Whateley say it's the first time someone's said it in words as opposed to just a press release. So, good on him. Berkey, I saw a heap of Nathan Berkey, was a dead set star, and Rob Wiley. Rob Wiley, did you have anything to do with Rob Wiley, given how close he was to Mick? Have you ever?
Nah, I would have liked to have. Apparently, he's pretty business savvy.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I think that's why Mick stuck pretty close to him. Nah, but you're one of Mick's best mates. So I'd met him in that, obviously. But, I didn't even know he played footy.
I had a day at the races with him with the big man, and great company. But that Richmond side, if you're not as old as me, which is most people now, but that Richmond side was very much like Essendon's in 2000. They were just so dominant, and straight after the grand final, if someone said, yeah, they're not going to win another premiership, you wouldn't have believed it. And that's how good they was, and he was a key member of it. And Debbie Lee, what she's done for women's football, unbelievable. They were the four inductees. So we've got a heap of messages, but what do you reckon of Tassie before we get to them?
What do I think of Tassie?
Well, as in...
as a state?
I don't know about you. Well, as in the 19th side, because I can't wait to doing our math science stuff and previewing the Port Adelaide versus Hobart game.
Yeah. I have nothing against Tassie having a side. In fact, I think they should have a side. But I absolutely do not think there should be a 19th side in the AFL.
Yep.
So now where that side comes from, that's not for me to decide. If they want to pay me to make that decision, I will. But
if they paid you by the hour, would you take a long time to write your report?
Oh, man, it'd take a long time. Like the Doherty report, Doherty Institute. Nothing but lies. Yeah. Well, otherwise, my fee for the hour would be fucking extraordinary. But, yeah, listen. Like, I actually think Tassie retired. I'm not sure. Unless you're a Tassie native, how many people would actually like to play in Tassie full-time?
It seems a stumbling block given that the Saints players didn't want to go to Seaford.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that would be tough. The side would have to be in Hobart, surely.
Well, I think it's the feeling seems to be that Hobart is obviously the bigger place, but the better ground is Launceston.
Yeah, Like, I've been to both, given back down there, and there's more to do in Hobart. So you'd be but it's an hour flight. You get the ship to Tassie, whatever it's called, back to the mainland every now and then. But I guess if you're getting paid to play AFL, you know, you got to just suck it up and fucking play wherever you get drafted. That's just the nature of the beast. But
Green Bay's colder than Tassie.
Yeah. Well, if I was on a wage that the NFL players are, I'd still be playing. Actually, not. I probably would have played 3 years, made $100 million, then fucked off. But I'm not greedy.
You ever been to let others make it?
Yeah, exactly. I don't need more than 100. 100 mil would be fine. Look, I've said on this program, the talent pool, like some of those games on the weekend, how are these? And kids are getting games before they should, obviously, because when sides drop to the bottom, they play the kids, and you allow for that. But shit, some of the players and some of the kids and some of the errors, and I've made errors as much as anyone. So, but I'm 5 years retired now, so I've forgotten how much I fucked the ball up. So I'm an expert now, and I never made a mistake. just like most commentators and ex players on the game. So, right, the talent pool is not good enough to support another side. It's just not. That means young kids are going to come in. They're not ready. And you reckon there's ugly games now. Like, dilute the talent pool again and watch how bad some of the games are. So, and I understand it's probably more about money than anything. And if, like I've said here, if you want great footy every week, trim it to 12 sides and play the best 12, put the best, 500 players in those 12 sides. And you get blowouts, obviously, but you get great footy every week. Now, obviously, that's not going to happen, but I really hope they don't have a 19th side, just for giving Tassie a side. You've got to get it from somewhere. Now, whose side goes, I'm not sure, but I'm wrapped for Tassie. They get a side. I think they deserve it, and they're great football people down there. And every time I go down there, I get shown heaps of love, and they're crazy for their footy, which is awesome, but a 19th side, just there's not enough talent in Australia to support it, I don't think. Look at the Suns. They've been shit for fucking 10 years.
Well, I mean, the Suns are the no-brainer to send down there.
Yeah.
Absolute no-brainer, but they won't. From Blake, has Dane been following Fisher on Instagram lately? Him in Vegas versus you in the world's most livable city.
Makes me sick.
So that's Sam Fisher, yeah?
Pardon? The Fisher, the DJ, I think.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I'm getting real sick of seeing people overseas. All me, a couple of mates I've got living over there are just in the Maldives and in Europe and doing the European summer. Greece, Fisher's fucking DJing on stage, killing it. And I'm sitting, I'm not allowed out in front of me house. What's this world come to? But yeah, it's really starting to make me ill. Oh, I just got a message from Passport AU. We've sent you a passport by registered post. I could be on the move. There we go. It's nice. But yeah, so I might get over there one day soon. But, oh, mate, it's sickening watching everyone enjoy themselves. And we're an island so isolated from the rest of the world. We're having 0.0003 cases a day. And we have to can only leave our house for an hour a day.
Have you taught that tape how to cut through gaffer tape for this week's light?
Yeah, it makes your head spin. Get ill. Yeah, it's fucking not well. It's not well, Ralph. How did we go today? We wouldn't have had the numbers today, eh?
Yeah, I think it's 50.
50. Do you think when do you think we'll get out? Question off the cuff. Do you think we'll be out before grand final day?
I think restrictions will ease sooner than people think, but not obviously not completely.
When do you think you'll be out? Do you think you'll be able to have a beer in a pub, watch the grand final?
Ooh, gee, I reckon that's an even money bet.
Even money bet.
Yeah.
So if we're going for value, you'd back, hold your back. Well, we like to find value on the next podcast. So would you take yes?
The value would be an open air pub.
Okay. Yeah,
a pub that's got an outdoor setting and strict distancing restrictions.
Would you have a specky on watching it at the MCG?
No.
No? You'd save your money?
No, yeah, they'd be saving that. Okay. Given and the old nothings for nothing theory, Perth would be paying a substantial amount of money too. And by the way, for people who said that it's not a tourism thing for Perth because you can't go into Perth, the point being there's lots of money in Perth doing nothing. So
you can go into Perth if you're from Brisbane or Port.
Right. But even so, the people in Perth who aren't spending money at the moment or have a lot of money who can spend will all of a sudden be splashing out big money to go to the grand final. So it's still worth a lot of money to the Perth economy, even if it's only, let's say they completely close their borders to everyone.
Yeah.
Hence they'll pay that.
Are we doing a finals preview or are we just doing the games as they come?
Just games as they come.
Yeah, right.
That's part two.
Who do you think will win the flag? Melbourne, obviously.
You mean in that respect? Yeah, we'll address that in part two.
Okay.
From Ian, thoughts on the Pies list and their coaching candidates, please?
Pies list, I don't think they're not as bad as I first saw it at about round eight. because, like I said, and obviously they're listening to this podcast, you play the kids and show and they can you see what they've got and what they haven't got, so then you can make decisions on the list going forward. I think if we're comparing them with like the others down the bottom, I think they've probably got more overall better young list talent than Carlton.
Yep.
Just Carlton have got, I don't know if you call Mackay, how long has Mackay and Wiedering been in the system?
I'd say off the top of my head, five.
Yeah, so you wouldn't call them young anymore.
No.
But like they've, you know, Mackay, Walsh and Wiedering are probably, you know, obviously Walsh is fucking one of the best midfielders in the league, but, you know, they've got a good spine, but the depth around them's horrible. So I think we have a lot of young talent, but, you know, talent and their level of improvement is never a given and the level of development. So you can look at, and look at all the young sides across the board. You can say, mate, GC played one good game, but it's never going to translate to being a gun, you know. And your development's never a foregone conclusion to becoming a star. So, but the little pieces of little glimpses of talent we've seen indicate that there's a really strong future there if they progress to the level that we expect them to progress to. Now, obviously, say there's eight. I don't know how many we blooded. So we played 8 to 10 young kids this year. Now it's a math science probability that all of them aren't going to be good players. It's just the way it is. Like you might get four or five that are really good. You might get two or three that get the arse. You might get one or two that's an elite player. So I think finals, not next year. I'd say 2022, probably 23, 24. I think when we'll probably be looking to improve back up into the finals. Now it's It can happen quickly, but yeah, that's when I'd expect us to be pushing back into the top eight. We need a key forward desperately, and another key back. Well, we've got Darcy Moore back, but we need a big key forward definitely. Now whether they go and get one or not, but who knows? But the future's bright. It's probably going to take another year of pain, and then another year or two of pain, then we should be good if the young fellas develop how they look like they're tracking.
Well, that's good because you'll re-emerge just as people are allowed to go to the footy again.
Well, exactly. Mate, you're a Melbourne supporter. Can you imagine Melbourne the flag and you can't go and have a beer with your mate to celebrate? Like, what's the point of winning?
That's all I've imagined.
Yeah. I was speaking to a mate who plays the other day, and he's like, well, imagine if you played here and you couldn't win in the flag and you can't go and celebrate with your mates because we're in lockdown. You have to go home and sit there on the couch and have a beer with your partner or something. Like, how boring would that be? Like, winning a flag, not being able to have a Mad Monday to celebrate. What's the point of winning it?
Well, I don't know if you've touched on this before, but like, I've got mates. I'm thinking of one in particular, Mad Collingwood man, and he said he enjoyed the Sunday more than the actual game.
Yeah,
the family day.
Yeah, exactly. You do, because you're so stressed during the game and stuff like that, and like, yep. You worry. Then like the next day, you get to settle in. Well, we weren't sober, but you like, you know, you sit around and go, you just look back with all the boys, look how happy everyone is. Like, fuck. Well, how good is the fact that we've done this in like this year? I'd imagine they're gonna have to fly straight out of Perth and come home and sit in the houses. Like,
do it on Zoom.
It's going to be a bad year to win the flag.
Very good point. Hey, we've got so many messages. What I'll do, because we've only got four games to preview, we'll do that in part two. Yep.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.